I had hair like the girl in the Thompson twins, and people told me it looked good in the 80s. Was that a lie?
Yes. People were lying to you. And I'm sure it wasn't the first time, and I'm positive it wasn't the last time.
And, you know, Bill, something you tend to say, and I know you say it tongue-in-cheek.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like this.
Yes.
You say, oh, it must be true. I've read it on the internet. There's
yes.
a lot of information out there, what to believe, what not to believe. We're going to find out. We have Dr. Daniel Levitin on the line with us. Sir, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Professor of psychology and behavioral neuroscience at McGill University. And you're going to be at New Trier High School in Northfield tomorrow night at 7 o'clock talking about your new book, A Field Guide to Lies, Critical Thinking in the Information Age. How do we know what's a lie and what's the truth on the internet? There's your big question.
Well, it's getting harder and harder to tell, and so I try to set out some simple steps that anybody can follow to separate the wheat from the digital chaff. I mean, it used to be that, you know, if you went to the newsstand or to the supermarket, what looked like a tabloid and what looked like a newspaper were a real newspaper were very different things. You could judge that book by its cover. And you expected one to be more reliable than the other. It's much harder to do on the internet, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, and that's the worst thing that you can do is go to all the medical websites and try and diagnose your own problems, because there's a lot of false stuff out there, isn't there?
Have you been to about 15 or 20 doctors who told you that you were a hypochondriac?
Yes. Yes.
When I walk in, they ask me what my prognosis is before I even see them.
Well, I think there's an enormous amount of information available on the web, which empowers us to learn more about our health care and take a more active role in managing our care. But there's a lot of misinformation. And I'll give you one trick, which is next time you want to look up something medically related, instead of using Google.com, use scholar.google.com. And that'll return primarily peer-reviewed articles in refereed journals. So you're getting a lot higher quality hits.
Nice. All I didn't know that. Scholar.google.com.
And if you know you're on the right page, it will say Google Scholar. Oh, my God. I am putting a little bookmark on
That's
my
excellent.
Screen right now.
That's excellent.
In fact, Melissa McCarthy is the first person that comes to mind. You'll be on Facebook, and there's a picture of Melissa McCarthy, and it says, "This is the secret to how she lost all that weight." And you click on it, and it is a complete advertisement for Garcinia
Cambogia.
Yeah, I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah.
How do they do that? How come Melissa McCarthy isn't able to say, "Hey, get my information off of that"?
Oh, well, you're asking the wrong guy about that. But what I can tell you is that it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between these paid advertisements and real news. But one tip is if you're reading a rigorous news source, say the New York Times, for example, they're going to report on a health story and give you both sides of the story. They'll say there's evidence that this thing helps, but they'll go out of their way to find people who disagree with the claim. And that's ultimately what I'm advocating for, is that everybody be allowed to make their own decisions. But to be given the evidence to do so.
What do we do, Professor? As you know, the presidential election is a couple months away. And the word out on the street is that Mr. Trump is a liar. And the word out on the street is that Mrs. Clinton is also a liar. So we're electing the most important person in the world right now. And the legend is they're both liars. So what do we do about that?
Well, they are both liars. If by liar you mean they've said things that aren't true.
Yes. I do mean that's how I mean it. Yes.
Yes. But you can parse this and ask, you know, was it their intent to deceive, or did they just misrecall something, or did they not understand the nuance and so there was a distortion? There are some differences there, but what a lot of people are doing is going to sites like PolitiFacts.com. The Washington Post runs a fact-checking site, and they rate almost all the statements made by major candidates for truthfulness. They hunt it down. The fact is, most of us are ill-equipped to do that ourselves, and so thank goodness there are professional journalists who are doing this for us.
But isn't politics, to some extent, a license to lie?
Well, I don't think it needs to be. I think boy, this is tricky. I think the most important question to ask may not be, is the candidate lying to me?
Yeah.
But the more important question might be, is the candidate, if elected, will they do a good job governing the country? Will they make the world a safer place? Will they make the United States safer? Will they reduce hatred and poverty and things like that? And, boy, if you have to elect a lying SOB to do that, then...
then have at it. But when Donald Trump makes up numbers about, let's go with unemployment, and that one, since that one is well documented, when he's throwing out numbers that aren't even close to being accurate, don't you say to yourself, well, if I can't believe him on that, what can I believe him on?
Well, right. One has to hope that if he's elected and he chooses to serve,
yeah,
that he'll surround himself with smart people who know how to get the job done,
right?
Who have an eye for detail and will implement policies, notwithstanding the fact that his understanding of the nuances seems to be challenged.
All right, we are talking to Daniel Levitin, A Field Guide to Lies. It's in my hand right now. Critical Thinking in the Information Age. We're going to take a quick break. I'm not lying to you. It's pretty quick, Dr. Levitin. 312-981-7200. And then I want to ask the good old doctor about you can tell when someone's lying. I have a theory, which I probably shouldn't reveal if my family's listening.
Oh, all right.
But we'll come back. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We are talking to Dr. Daniel Levitin. Let me put him on the phone. He is a professor of psychology and behavioral neuroscience. We're a family of ADHDers. My kids have done CogMed, which is kind of an interesting thing, where you can help your short-term memory, and I noticed you're into that as well.
I'm into CogMed?
Cognitive neuroscience. You've written other books as well, The Organized Mind, This Is Your Brain on Music. But right now we're talking about lying. Let's stick with that.
Thank you, Wendy. I was a little ADHD there for a moment.
No problem. I was told by my mom, I have blue eyes, and every time I lied when I was a kid, my mom said my eyes would turn green. It wasn't such a crazy thing that she said to me because I would avert my eyes every time I lied to her because I thought that she would see the difference. I have in turn used that on my kids, but I have read somewhere that if someone's lying, they kind of look up and to the left because we read left to right. Is there any truth in that statement? If somebody's lying and they're thinking about what they're going to say, they kind of look up and to the left. Any truth to that?
I'm sorry to tell you, Wendy, there's not. And there's been a lot of research on this because, of course, the CIA and the NSA and other police organizations would really like to have some quick and dirty rule for knowing. The fact is that detecting lies is difficult. And in the experimental literature, most studies show an accuracy of about 45% to 60% in detecting whether something is true or not, where 50% would be just guessing.
Right.
And even experienced Secret Service and customs agents with a lot of training can't get much beyond about 70%. So shifting the eyes, looking at a particular place, all unreliable indicators. But there are a couple of things that can help you. One is inconsistencies in the story or implausibilities, things that just really seem very unlikely. Even so, it's important to recognize you're not going to be able to detect all lies in all people because some people have a disorder such that they don't really know when they're lying. And we call them pathological liars because it results from an underlying pathology or disorder in the brain. And there might be one or two politicians in our lifetimes who have had this.
What do you make of people, and I'll use O.J. Simpson as an example. People said about O.J. Simpson, no, he lied so much that even he started to believe his own lies. Does that happen to people, do you think?
Well, I don't think it happens to mentally stable people. I think we all, those of us who are psychologically healthy, which is most of us, know the difference between a truth and a lie. Now, that might not prevent us from repeating a lie over and over again, but, you know, the repetition doesn't make it so, even in our own minds.
Yeah.
All right. So there are things, an example question here, and this is what I want to ask you. who doesn't believe Neil Armstrong walked on the moon? Or
there are people who don't believe it, that it's a conspiracy, that we didn't have men on the moon.
There are. I'm fascinated by this one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, you've heard there are a lot of people, too, that think 9/11 was an inside job.
Right.
How do you use your own brain in figuring out these conspiracies?
Well, you know, I looked into this because as a scientist, I have to keep an open mind. I work in a world in which medical and scientific knowledge is shifting on a regular basis, and what we thought we knew can be supplanted by new information. And it's a job requirement that I take in new information and possibly modify my views, sometimes radically, based on the new information. Not a bad strategy for anybody who wants to make decisions in an election year. Keep an open mind.
Right.
In the case of, let's take the moon landing. There is a hardcore group of people who think it was staged. And three of the claims they make are the following. The flag that you see in those pictures, the flag planted on the moon, seems to be rippling in the wind. But there's no atmosphere on the moon, so there's no wind. Why is it rippling? And why is it sticking straight out? If there was no wind, it would fall, you know, in a heap due to gravity. The third thing is, they say, if you listen to recordings of the astronauts talking to mission control, there's no delay. But the round trip between the Earth and the moon is 500,000 miles. There should be a few second delay between people talking. So I thought, wow, those are really good points. How in the world are they going to answer that? But, you know, then you go to NASA websites, or you can on the Internet find interviews with people who worked at NASA who, you know, are pretty smart people. I mean, they are rocket scientists. So they knew there wasn't going to be any atmosphere on the moon and that pictures were going to be taken. So they rigged up a special flag with guide wires in it to hold it open. The guide wires got bent on the way up, and so that's why it has this ripply look. But if you look at all the pictures of the flag, it's always the same. It's not as though you've caught it in mid-flap or something. It's held there rigidly. And about the delays, the original tapes, which you can access on the web of the conversations, do have a several-second delay. But when news organizations got their hands on them, or documentary filmmakers, they knew that audiences wouldn't want to sit through a whole bunch of gaps in the conversation, so they edited them out.
Oh.
And I find that compelling. But the conspiracy theorists will say, oh, well, all those people were paid off to say that.
Sure. That makes sense.
You know, I find that unlikely. I think it's implausible that they'd be able to buy off everybody.
Professor, we've talked about politicians and their propensity to lie. And probably if I said to you which profession is most likely to lie, most people would probably say used car salesman. But is there a profession that liars tend to gravitate toward?
Well, I don't think so, because especially today, where it's becoming so easy to pin people down. I mean, yeah, I guess used car salesmen have a reputation. I don't know that there is any data on this.
Right.
Lawyers have a reputation for lying, but I don't know that there's data on that. I think that our best defense is to become informed and to keep an open mind, and to respectfully and politely ask follow-up questions when somebody tells us something, like, where did you learn that? Or what makes you think that's true? Or you know, I'm not doubting you. I'd like to know more about the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
This is all really fascinating. A Field Guide to Lies, Dr. Daniel Levitin. And you're going to be at New Trier High School in Northfield. This is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And what will be the focus of your little talk?
Well, I thought I would talk about the need for critical thinking and some of the ways that the media can take advantage of people who are not thinking critically.
Will you be lying at all during this speech?
I sure hope not.
No, I hope not. But you have to admit, we kind of do every day, don't we?
People lie every day?
Yeah.
I don't.
You never do? You don't
I
think
try
so?
Not to. What do I have to lie about?
No, I don't know.
What are you lying to us about, Bill?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But it's just kind of part of us, right? To just kind
well,
of
you know,
exaggerate.
We are a social species, and as a social species, this complicates things. If my Aunt Millie asks me if I like her hat, I'm going to say yes, even if I don't.
Yes.
And, you know, that's just me, but it's part of the social glue that keeps us going. Do I look fat in this? Oh, no. But For things that matter, I think, you know, like political issues or where to invest your money or whether this is a good job move for you or not, I think it's important to get the facts and make evidence-based decisions and hope that people aren't lying to you, but put some backup systems in place so you can figure it out.
Excellent.
Hook them up to a lie detector.
Yes. Always have a lie detector on your person. Daniel Levitin's book, again, is called A Field Guide to Lies. Don't forget, he'll be visiting New Trier High School in Northfield. That's tomorrow, Thursday, September the 8th at 7 p.m. Visit his website, daniellevitin.com. All the information's there. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bill and Wendy.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
A quick break, and then news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.